The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. I'm very excited to have y'all back, but I'm even more excited to have our guest on today. He is the VP of Development at Aptitude Development, Mr. Zach Feldman. Zach, thank you for joining the show today. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thanks for taking some time out of your day and making us part of it. I know you got a lot of stuff going on, incredibly busy. So we want to have you on, get some experiences from you, and then we'll hopefully get you back and productive. But for those that are maybe hearing your name for the first time on our show or just in general, would love to have a little bit of background behind you, where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in these days.
Yeah, of course. So I grew up outside of Boston in the suburbs. I grew up in a quasi real estate family. My parents own a few buildings around the city, and I worked in college in my summers. I worked on a maintenance department, waxing floors and power washing buildings, and I was a real estate agent, renting apartments in Boston in my junior summer of college, but I really didn't want to go into the family business, you could say. I wanted to go into the energy industry. So out of college, I ended up at an energy company in Connecticut, and I worked on our power scheduling and renewable energy trading desk. That was my dream, was to be a renewable energy trader. And I got on the desk after a year or two at the company, and I absolutely hated it. So my bubble was popped. But throughout growing up, I was always interested when I'd come home from college that, if you play golf, all the guys playing and girls playing golf on like a Thursday afternoon happen to be in real estate. So I go, no matter what I do, I always wanted to own real estate and, the idea of passive income. So fast forward, I bought my first building when I was 22, when I was working at the energy company. And I kind of caught the bug early on. And because I was young, I thought I could figure out and do student housing because I just come from being a student and I lived in a house. So I started buying some smaller buildings and unit counts throughout the Northeast and was doing well with it for the most part. Certainly had a lot of bumps along the road, from financing and equity and management and collections and you name it, I've done it, construction nightmares. But as my journey continued on and I started to go into the real estate industry full time, I really wanted to learn how to do it at an institutional level. I wanted to learn how to go build skyscrapers and student housing buildings that could house, 500, 1,000 kids. The industry was maturing at the institutional level, and I was able to parlay my experience, really on the ground and doing it in the field to my current role as a VP of development at Aptitude Development. It's a 7-year-old company. We've built close to 4,000 beds around the country. We have about $250 million in construction as we speak and about $500 million in the pipeline behind that. So, any job that's menial, I've done it. Now doing it at a large scale has been really, rewarding and fulfilling. And, there's a lot of tailwinds in the industry that we're very excited about. And, I'm an open book. So any questions about the business or my past, I'm happy to talk about. But that's, in a nutshell, been my journey so far.
Yeah. Well, hey, thank you for sharing. And I think that's awesome. I think you're the first person we've had on from like the student housing standpoint. And that's really cool to hear and how you kind of grew up in the real estate, got out of it for a little bit, but it brought you back. Right. And hearing your journey, I think is really cool. And for a lot of people out there listening, you don't always have to start in real estate or you may leave real estate, but oftentimes that calling seems to bring a lot of people back. But Zach, we brought you on and I think we talked about a little bit before we hit record, your journey hasn't been always easy. There's some things that you've probably learned through some struggles or failures along the way, especially in like the student housing that taught you and helped you to get where you are today as VP of development. I wanted to see if maybe you could expand upon that a little bit and some of the lessons you learned along the way.
Yeah. I would say one of the things we pride ourselves at Aptitude Development is being extremely hands-on. I think no one really cares like an owner does. The management company does not. The construction company does not. The guys on the ground do not. You really have to take ownership of everything that goes on. But, backing up before that, when I started buying a lot of these small buildings, we bought, six single and duplexes in upstate New York near a small college up there, and we had a manager that we loved. He was great. And we go, oh, real estate's easy. You don't really have to do much, from an asset management standpoint. And this is when I was on my own and one of my partners, who was my friend from college, We were about like 24 at the time. You know, we had a third party manager who was great, but kind of moved on to bigger and better things. And we had to hire another management company. And, you know, you don't know until you get burnt, but they were just asleep at the wheel. The two founders that ran the management company, you know, said they were local. One lived in North Carolina and one lives in a different state as well. And they hired these people that were never in the business that, you know, pretended they knew what they were doing. You know, it was frustrating because, you know, they, even these guys were, you know, pretty good at PR. They did on like PickerPockets and a few of the other, you know, decent, you know, publication and media machines within the business. So we thought they were legit. And 6 months in, we're having collections issues. We're having, you know, tenant issues. They didn't rent to some college kids. And, you know, that's 8 months in, we have, you know, we're missing like, you know, $40,000 in rent. We're having health inspectors called about doors that are hung wrong. And people are, you know, stiffing us left and right. And, you know, we walk into the office, it's like 11 o'clock on a Tuesday, and no one's in the office. And we go, where are these people that are supposed to be essentially, you know, stewards for our life savings, you know, as we want to go buy more deals? You know, everyone's asleep at the wheel. And it was a really tough lesson to learn, as it's taken us, you know, took us like maybe 12 to 24 months to get a new manager and really stabilize with new good tenants that could pay. You know, we had to put money into every unit. You're never going to collect from those types of tenants anyway. And really return the whole portfolio to, you know, students that were good with parents as guarantors and cosigners. You know, and it brings back the principle that I learned back then, and also what we, you know, really deployed aptitude development is, no one cares like an owner does. Your manager, as good as they can be, or as great as they might be as people, they're not the one to put their life savings or their name on the loan. And you really gotta be involved on, you know, day to day, if not at least a very, you know, bi daily basis, understanding what's going on the ground, especially if you decide a third party manage. So yeah, that was a lesson I learned early on, is you just can't trust everyone because they seem like great people. And ultimately the buck stops with you, and you have to take full ownership and accountability for it. You know, we ended up almost suing that management company because they're just bad. They're bad people. You know, so right. Sadly, you know, and it wasn't worth the headache to really go after them, but they turned what was an extremely profitable, exciting, you know, first foray into growing my life savings in the business, into something that became, you know, honestly like a year, 2 year long nightmare with issues in collections, having to try and evict people, which is a nightmare, and then having to redo half the units at the Tennessee place, and they took their management fee, their broker fee to lease the unit. So a tough lesson to learn. Glad I learned it early on, and definitely a lesson I've taken more to the institutional space at Aptitude is, you know, we hear it all the time from both the crews on the ground and our construction teams that we're the most involved owners they've ever dealt with, because we really care. And on every deal, we put a lot of skin in the game. We truly do care. And I think that shows in not only the final product for our students that ultimately live there, but also how we keep up the properties and the way that we continue to run our assets. You know, I would say for people that are about to get into the business or own a few properties or looking to grow and do go the third party management route, which I recommend if you can find a good one, is like a weekly scorecard. So now, instead of getting end of the month statements, you know, I get weekly statements from all of our third property managers from my personal portfolio that have, you know, vacancy rate, you know, collections, who's lagging behind. If there's a, you know, if they're going to pay in the next week or two, what's that look like? You know, what leases are coming up, what the repairs and maintenance items were that week, and really, you know, not trying to create a ton more work for them, but making sure that I really have, you know, a looking glass into what's going on the ground, and also making sure that if there's issues that I can, you know, be there to assist the team on the ground and operating the properties effectively and efficiently.
Yeah, well, and I like that approach too, because if you're only getting a statement once a month, you're 3 to 4 weeks behind on the data. So something that started to bubble up, you could have caught on this weekly report, even if it's just minimal data, just some of the basic information that you have would be incredibly relevant, I would imagine, so that you could deal with it. Maybe the first week isn't a huge problem, but if it's happened the second or even third week, that's probably something you want to address with your management company.
And I would say it also goes back to caring like an owner, right? You know, maybe if it's, you know, July, you know, end of July, and, you know, the building's not going to be, you know, the lease isn't up till October. Okay, well, let's make sure that when they get out October 1st, there's already a bid for whatever work needs to be done. We're already marketing the properties with last year's photos. We're making sure that, you know, the community outreach or referrals is going to the rest of the tenant base, so that, you know, by October 15th or November 1st, you can rent the unit. You know, whereas the management company says, oh, by the way, in 2 weeks, this is coming vacant. This is a damage that, you know, we won't know till October 1st what we need to do. Well, now you're 60 days behind the eight ball versus getting the unit turned in 15 days. And, you know, things like that, I just think having a, you know, again, you don't want to micromanage and create more work for yourself, but being able to look at it as an owner from a 30,000 foot view, you have to care, but also understand how to asset manage appropriately. And you also forget, you know, most local managers, you know, maybe they manage 50 units or 100 units or 10 units. They're just trying to, you know, to get to the day like everyone else. You know, if you lose your building or if you have, you know, 6 months of vacancy, it doesn't really affect their lives. So, you know, I would just say, you don't want to create more work for yourself, but you got to keep your eye on the ball and going all the way to the institutional level. I mean, we have daily calls with our management companies that manage our 4,000 plus beds, you know, and it's, there's a lot of moving parts, but you know, if you want to be in the business, it's not passive. I think that's a huge misconception. It is not a passive investment unless you're a true LP.
Yeah. And I think that's the benefit of being an LP, right? It takes care of itself, right? You invest, you get your returns as long as you have a good operator, right? They have good investment strategies. And that's the best thing about an LP. For those that want to be more involved, that's where you get in on the GP side. Those that want to be thinking about and worrying about those things like construction, if you're in development, or the renovation in the building, if you're going to be doing that. But most of the time, I think we hear the biggest headache or the things that keep people up at night the most is the property management group, making sure that you have a good one and they're aligned on what you want to do moving forward. And then they, even though they may not have skin in the game, they understand what the strategy is and align with that strategy to help you achieve that strategy moving forward for the organization.
No, I think that's a valid point, right? You know, we, as a company, Aptitude, we finance our deals through a mix of institutional capital and also, you know, high net worth friends and family. You know, I have some of my fraternity buddies that are in our deals, and I have, you know, some, you know, friends I've grown up with that are in our projects. And again, I think that's a really good point. Everyone seems to want to get in real estate, but everyone forgets they can go be an LP and sleep fine and still get very, very good returns. You know, as a GP, you make money on your promote. If the deal performs, you earn your promote. And if you're thinking about getting into real estate, don't think you have to go house hack a deal or, you know, buy a four family or buy an 80 unit or a 500 unit deal. If you want to get in real estate and you have capital to allocate, go find a good, you know, sponsor that you're friendly with. Call Aptitude, where I'm happy to walk you through our deals and what we do. Everyone seems to want to get into real estate, but everyone thinks they want to do it themselves. And that's not always the best way to get involved on your first or your 50th deal. I mean, there's some phenomenal real estate investors that are only LPs, and they pick the right sponsor. They pick good deals and asset classes that they believe in, and they've done exceptionally well. You know, it's not a passive investment. If you want to be in the business, you can still get all the benefits of real estate by being a limited partner. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, because I think, to your point, a lot of people overlook the fact that the only way to be passive in real estate is to be an LP. If you are wanting to be in real estate on the GP side, that is very much an active investment. I don't care if you have third-party management. I don't care if you have somebody overlooking the general contractor doing your development or your construction work. You're going to be involved, and it's a daily involvement. It really is. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're out there, you're listening, and you're thinking, hey, you know what? I like real estate. I like it as a investment strategy. I like it in my portfolio. I want to get into it. Understand that if you want to get into it and you want to be passive, go on the LP side. To your point, Zach, you get all, if not the same exact benefits.
You get the distributions, you get the appreciation, you get depreciation. And I also think part of, you know, we do things like, you know, a cost segregation analysis, which is, you know, essentially accelerated depreciation. You know, most people don't end up owning a building for 27 and a half years and taking advantage of all that out there and, you know, partnering, you know, if you want to call it partnering. And I think maybe stepping back, a GP, for those that don't know, is the general partner. They're the person that finds the deal, lines up the debt and equity, handles the management and or asset management. If there's any construction, they oversee that. You know, and the LP is a limited partner where you're really writing a check as you might if you're buying a stock and you're letting someone else operate the business. That's what we mean by GP-LP. You know, and there's a lot of you get all the benefits that you would as ownership. You're giving up some of the upside, but you don't have to do any work. So it's a really great structure if you're thinking about getting involved. You know, some people save up $50,000, $100,000 to go buy their first real estate investment. You're going to learn a lot even being an LP. You're going to see, you know, monthly statements. You're going to see, you know, updates from the project. And, you know, you can be involved and understand a lot about how the business and buildings are operated and run and become profitable and value is created through either development or acquisitions and a value add without having to, you know, write personal guarantees and without having to deal with a headache every single day. So I think it's a very underappreciated part of the business for everyone that's out there listening. You can be a real estate owner. You don't have to bet the farm on it every single day.
Absolutely. You don't have to quit your W-2. If you have a fantastic W-2, you're making some good income there. You just want to diversify how you get income. You want that mailbox money. You want your money working for you. LP is a great way to go. So
couldn't agree more.
Zach, I can't thank you enough for being on. I think those were some incredibly valuable lessons for those that are maybe wanting to get into real estate on the active side and be that GP. I think understanding some of the things that go into it and the challenges that you face, we heard that from you today, as well as what's the best way to get into real estate without having to worry about those 2 a.m. phone calls or thinking about what's the monthly strategy, is our rent up, those type of things. So I can't thank you enough for being on. For those that maybe want to work with you, want to work with Aptitude Development, maybe just want to connect with you and just pick your brain a little bit more, what's the best place for people to find you?
The best way to contact me is honestly my cell phone. I think, again, I'm happy to talk real estate all day long. I'm happy to talk to you about, our firm Aptitude Development and potentially getting involved as an LP, or if you have a deal that you're looking at, want our opinion on it. We've also partnered with a lot of local landowners that, maybe they own 4 or 5 houses next to a college campus or a retail strip. The highest and best use for land near a school is student housing. It's the highest rent per foot you're going to get. I would say 95% of markets where there's a school. And if you want to partner with us, maybe you can roll the land into the deal, or if you want to be an LP, it's 2021. Text me. It's the easiest way to get me. You can reach me on my cell. It's 781-789-4354. Or if you want to reach out via email, my email is ZF, Z as in zebra, F as in Frank, at aptitudere.com. And check out our website, which is aptitudere.com. Again, I'm happy to chat with you about real estate, about the student housing space. And, if you're interested in getting involved, either with partnering us or building a project together or becoming an investor, don't hesitate to reach out. I'm an open book. I'm happy to discuss, our firm and the business.
That's perfect. Zach, thank you so much. And for those listening, we'll drop a lot of those in the show notes to make it easy for you to access. But Zach, thank you to you for joining us and sharing everything today.
Oh, it was a pleasure being here. Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely, Zach. And thank you for the listeners for joining us. We'll catch everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.